standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We've talked at some length about that particular scripture, and we discussed and studied that the man that is blessed is the one that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So that scripture really tells us what it is that causes you to lose the blessed position. Remember, the ungodly meant your traditions, your own habits, what you think, how you feel, what you think is right about this or that or whatever. So you see, that's what causes you to lose the blessings. Now we're going to study how to get them back. And it's a very simple thing, but it necessitates no longer walking in the counsel of the ungodly. In essence, meaning you got to stop thinking you know what you're doing. If your life up to this point does not prove to you that you don't know what you're doing, I don't know what will. So let's turn back a little bit to Nehemiah chapter 11. I'm going to let old Nehemiah give you a lick tonight or two. I'm going to sick him on you tonight. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. What that scripture says, all the rulers, the people that have authority, those of me, that can say no to whatever's wrong, most of the time, some of the time, are those people that dwell at Jerusalem. Everybody else casts lots to see if they're going to come into Jerusalem. And I'll tell you how that works. I'm blessed to be called as a ruler. And God would want you all to come and dwell at Jerusalem also, but you've decided you're going to cast lots. And sometimes you live in Jerusalem, and sometimes you live in other cities. And other cities is the opposite of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem means to be found at peaceful and a lot of other things. But right now we're going to be talking about people who dwell in Jerusalem 1 out of 10 times. 1 out of 10 times they agree. See, they will tithe their disagreement, won't they? They'll say, oh, Lord, I agree with you 1 out of 10 times. See, so you will tithe your obedience. No, you see, you're not supposed to tithe obedience. You're not supposed to disobey 90% of the time. But you see, these are the people that cast lots, and lots is another way of saying dice. You shoot craps. Which is appropriate because that's about the only thing you can bet because you're full of it. Amen. Lots means a small stone or stones used in biblical times to determine a portion or destiny. Now, these are the people that say, Reuben's not going to make my decisions for me, and neither is God. I'm my own person. Well, I'm just going to roll dice here to decide what we're going to do. Lots means an object used in deciding a matter by chance. It means the verdict or the decision or choice arrived at by this means. And it's regarded as the verdict of chance. In other words, God's not going to make my decisions. Chance is. Well, let me tell you about chance. The word chance means a happening of events without apparent cause. These are the I don't know people. See, these are the crap players. Something happens and they say, I don't know. You'll argue with me for 8 days first, and then after you realize that your arguments are no good, then you'll say, I don't know. Well, see, these are the chance people. These are the ones that believe that happenings or events happen without apparent cause. See, these people just walk through life just I don't know. Just like sort of retards. I like to call them the I don't know people. There's another definition of the word chance. It means the apparent absence of cause or design, like, I didn't do it. These are the I didn't do it people. They believe there's no cause and no design, so therefore nobody did it. Now we have the problem, but nobody did it. These are the I didn't do it people. And then there's another definition of the word chance, and this is, by the way, what causes you. See, whenever you roll the dice and you kind of hit, you're happy, and whenever you don't, you don't. See, these are the people that are happy and unhappy, and God is good, and then he isn't, and you just don't seem to dwell in Jerusalem. It's a place you kind of visit is all. Chance means an unpredictable event or accidental happening. These are the I couldn't help it, people. It was unpredictable. But you've been doing it that way in that circumstance ever since I've known you. Oh, but it's unpredictable. Not for me, it isn't. And then there's another definition of the word chance. It means a mishap or a mischance. These are the I didn't mean it, people. And then finally, the word chance essentially and basically means accidental. These are the it was an accident, please forgive me, I'm sorry, people. If God sold salvation as insurance, with the amount of accidents that you have, your premium would be absolutely sky high. You're not a good spiritual risk. You have too many accidents. It was an accident. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Well, we haven't straightened out the fender from the one yesterday yet. But you're sorry again. And it was still an accident. Let me share with you how these people think they're putting something over on God. Hell, I can see through this. What chance do you have with God? These crap players go through life this way. Salvation, forgiveness of all my sins. I won't have to go to hell. Roll the dice. Yes, salvation. Yes. And then they get saved and I start preaching grace and love. No matter what you do, I love you anyway. It's all right. We're going to work on it. Oh, throw the dice. Yes. Yes. Grace and salvation. Yes. Grace and love. Yes. And then I start preaching health and happiness. Prosperity as a blessing from God, and you throw the dice and it's yes again. And I say, oh, you want health and happiness and prosperity? Yes. Well, then you got to stop smoking, you got to stop drinking, you got to stop eating wrong, you got to stop acting wrong, you got to start treating people right, you got to stop cussing, you got to get control of yourself. Throw the dice. 2 out of 3. Throw it again. 3 out of 4. Throw it again. 4 out of 5. Isn't it amazing that everything you like, the first roll of the dice, that was good. But the minute you don't like it, you want to roll again. We changed the rules. Now, the first roll was good until it came up on something you didn't like. Now, it's not 1 out of 1. Now it's 2 out of 3. Let's roll again. And if you don't like it then, it's 3 out of 4. 4 out of 5. Well, the mathematical laws of probability and chance dictate that sooner or later, if you keep rolling it long enough, It's going to come up the number that you want. These are the people who work it that way, and because of that, one-tenth of the time they're happy. One-tenth of the time they're prosperous. One-tenth of the time they have it together. One-tenth of the time. The other nine parts is gone. Well, I wonder why they're that way. Well, my God says, look, Rube, I'm God and you're not. So I will get by on one-tenth. The other nine parts are yours. And some of you say, no, I don't like that. I want the nine parts. I want to be God. And then God says, okay, but then you only get a tenth. See, because God gets a tenth. Now, these people, and some of you, don't like it that way. You keep rolling the dice until it comes up what you want. And you will find out, and just you can start marking it down. One-tenth of the time you will be happy. One-tenth of the time things will go in your favor. One-tenth of the time things will come without you fighting, biting, kicking, and scratching for it. Which means one-tenth God will willingly tithe to you. Because he says this is the rule. The one that rules gets a tenth. And the one that doesn't gets the nine parts. So since you want to rule, you get the tenth. That's really what unhappiness is all about. Role reversal with God. I'm going to tell you about another person now that I'd like to see you be. He comes in Nehemiah 11:2, the very next verse. It says, and the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Big difference between the ones that cast lots to dwell at Jerusalem. Is there enough pressure to make me dwell at Jerusalem? Or is it something I willingly do? Do I willingly offer myself? Wives who only live in Jerusalem when the husband makes a decision they like. The rest of the time, it's up for grabs. But this says the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Remember what bless or blessed meant in the book of Psalms when we read the same word. It meant health, prosperity, happiness. Same English word here, but it comes from a different Hebrew word. This word blessed means to bless God as an act of adoration and vice versa, to bless man as a benefit. Now, what does that essentially mean? The only way on this God's earth that you can bless God and be blessed back is to bless an individual with a benefit. Cheap, lousy, meaningless words without action are worthless. And I've learned something. If cheap, meaningless, lousy words without actions that back them up are not acceptable to God, who am I to change the rules? Not acceptable to me either. So see what this really boils down to. And notice this doesn't say, and God bless the men. You see, the perfect indication that God is blessing you through someone, or that God is blessing you, he will bless you through someone. Now I want God to bless me. Now if you don't happen to be the someone that God can use to bless me, then I need another someone, don't I? And by the way, if I'm not the one that God is using to bless you, then you need another someone too. The problem isn't in God. It's either you or me, maybe both of us. Not, as the commercial goes. And all we have to do to find out if it's me or you is find out which one of us dwells at Jerusalem. Very simple. There it is in black and white. So we look up the word Jerusalem, and it means to be found at peaceful. But it basically also, the first part, shalom, the back, the last part means peaceful. But the first part of the word, the prefix, really comes from the fact that Jerusalem is founded on two hills of about equal stature. It's founded on two hills. And God does exactly that. In order to be founded peaceful, you have to know right and wrong. And you have to choose one or the other. If you choose the right one, then you're peaceful. If you choose the wrong one, you're not. But see, being peaceful means you get a choice. It's no accident. Jerusalem is not founded on one hill. There's two. Which means you cannot be peaceful unless you willingly choose to dwell at Jerusalem. If you are there because you happen to marry into it, if you're there because you happen to belong to this church, then you're the one of the ones that cast lots. And you're not here out of choice, you're here out of circumstance. Well, now the word Jerusalem tells us how to be found at peaceful. It comes from a Hebrew word, Jerusalem, that means to teach or point things out by aiming the finger. Pointing things out, that's wrong and that's right. In other words, you will never, ever be peaceful until God points out what's wrong and what's right. And you willingly choose the right. God cannot, or at least will not, do this by himself. If he did do it by himself, being no respecter of persons and loving all the world and not willing that any should perish, everybody would be saved, everybody would be blessed, nobody would be sick, there'd be no wars, there'd be no, we'd be in heaven, wouldn't we? So the fact of the matter is, there's a job to do, and one of us is not doing it. Now, if you can make an argument that I don't teach and point out the difference between right and wrong, then we've made a statement for my fault. I need to change. But if in fact I am teaching and pointing out and by aiming the finger as well, I could have said it different, but let's just say I aimed the finger. Then your job is to decide one or the other, but do it willingly. Yeah. It is not my job to beat you on the head and make you do it. Sometimes I kind of wish it were. It would allow me to vent a lot of frustration and anger, but then I would be no better than you. So then we learn, well, how is it? How is God going to teach me by pointing things out? The next part of the definition of Jerusalem, and this is why you're not peaceful, by the way. This is why you only come in and out, is because when the teaching and the pointing out is to your liking, you do it and it works. When it isn't to your liking, you don't do it and it doesn't work. And the ratio is about 1 in 10. So now, how are you found at peaceful? The word Jerusalem means to inform, to instruct, to show, to direct, and be taught of God. Remember the ungodly? Well, this is the godly. The ungodly are being taught by someone other than God. The godly are being taught of God. So the ones that are peaceful are taught of God. They're informed, they're instructed, They're shown, they're directed, and they're taught of God. In other words, they're founded of God. Now, what does living at Jerusalem mean? Besides teaching and all this, now I'm going to teach you essentially the rest of the definition. Jerusalem means to be safe in mind, body, and estate. In other words, it means to have a certain condition of your mind, a certain condition of your body, and a certain condition of all your material goods. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You can make an argument that your mind and your spirit in good shape, because I can't really prove it one way or the other. All I have to do is look at your material life. And that's not just whether you have or not. It's how you do it. Do you enjoy it? And if your estate, your material life, is in a mess, it's because your body's in a mess, because your mind is in a mess. Because your mind is working on things that God didn't teach, your body is then receiving things that God didn't send, and the manifestation is how your life is going. So in order to be peaceful, in order to be in Jerusalem, in order to be blessed, you have to be founded of God. Founded peaceful. He is the Prince of Peace. So we look up the word found or founded. And in this context, it means to be based on God. Established of God. Supported of God. Brought into being of God. Your temper tantrums were not brought into being by God. Your way of handling things is not based on God. And because it's not based on God, it's not established of God. And that's why you don't succeed. And the price that it costs you not to willingly offer yourself to dwell at Jerusalem is you now are not safe in mind, body, or estate. The word safe means healthy, sound condition, well-preserved. Well-preserved means things last and look good longer than anybody else's. Your cars break down, nothing works, your jobs don't please you, your cars don't serve you well, you're not happy with this, you're not happy with it. Nothing's well-preserved. Why? Because you don't have a healthy, sound condition. And one of the benefits that you're going to forego is that because you're not well-preserved, you're going to look a lot worse. And your health is going to be a lot worse. And your strength is going to be a lot less than it ought to be for someone of your age and position. Personally, I have no intention of letting Joshua go up even one on me. The man said that at 80 he could do everything he did at 40. He said he hadn't lost a thing. He said his God and my God has restored all of those years. Just who does he think he is to get more from God than I do? Well, the fact of the matter is, he has no intention of withholding anything from me. The position is mine. All of these things happen at Jerusalem. But not if you're there grudgingly. Not if you're there because something that you don't like, worse will happen if you don't. You got to be there willingly. That's why when people go on diets or change this, if it isn't willingly, it does not work. You have to willingly offer yourselves to dwell in peace, to be led of God, to be taught of God. And if it's done grudgingly or out of peer pressure, eventually you'll just drift right back to where you started. Now, safe also means free from damage, danger, or injury. Secure. Now, this is talking about a mind, a body, and an estate that ought to be free from damage, free from danger, free from injury, healthy, sound condition, well preserved. Well, how do you get all of that? Well, it starts with the mind. This is Jerusalem now. It isn't a place where you can go visit there or move physically. Jerusalem for you and I is a state of mind. So obviously it has to begin with mind. So the first thing that has to happen, you have to be safe in mind. Mind means what you think, your opinion. I don't care about the economy. I don't care about the recession. You say, well, things aren't too good out there. I've seen it where it's been so bad here that I didn't get paid for 22 weeks. I was safe in mind, though. And every time there wasn't a check, I went to the refrigerator and I looked and I said, hey, there's enough to eat today. What am I moaning about? No one ever came for a car of mine. I never missed a payment. And in all those 22 weeks, I still loaned you all and gave what I didn't loan, I gave away. So you got to be safe in mind. Either God is or He isn't. Mind means your intellect and your intelligence. It means the conscious and the unconscious together as a unit. You're either safe in mind or you're not. But you see, mind also means sanity. So see, a person that's always worried and isn't depending on God is insane. You're cuckoo. The only value you have is to tell time. Well, once you're safe in mind, then you'll become safe in body. And these are the characteristics, again, of willingly living in Jerusalem. You become safe in body. Now, we're going to get to your finances in a minute. But we can't start there. You have to be safe in mind first. Then you become safe in body. Body means the whole physical structure and substance of a human being. It means the flesh as opposed to the spirit. In other words, your physical structure has to be free from danger, damage, injury, secure, in a healthy, sound condition, just like your mind. So see, the first thing I have to do is teach you how to think right. Put pure things in your mind. Then to put pure things in your body. Then you become safe in a state, which means property, possessions, capital, and fortune. You see, the difficulty is you have impure money. You have unhealthy money. It just comes and it doesn't stay. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Well, why is your job, your income, your business, your estate, your finances, your capital, why are they not healthy? Well, they're not founded in Jerusalem, that's why. And you see, you're so quick. People are so quick. The minute the bank account goes a little bit, oh, what can I do to heal this? Heal the body by healing the mind. Don't give me that routine. What can I do to make more money? Heal the mind, heal the body, and then the wallet. That's founded at Jerusalem. And God put you there. All of you have been there at one time or another. He says 1 out of 10 times we're there. But what happens every time you have the blessings of God and things start going right? you make the following mistake. Finally found it peaceful, taught of God, blessed of God, led of God, supported of God, means to reciprocate. And reciprocate comes from the word reciprocal. Now I'm going to tell you what happens to you every time God blesses you. You make the following mistake without exception. You do not reciprocate. Now, you do give each other the reciprocal whenever you're at your worst. When you're in a bad mood, you will give out bad. Now you're reciprocating. And you see, what goes around comes around. And God says, you don't have a problem reciprocating, Dumbo. You just don't know when to do it. So reciprocate means to return in kind or degree. In other words, reciprocate means to return what you're receiving. Now, you have no problem when someone's given you a bad time, when you're upset. You have no problem giving in kind and degree when you're getting bad. That's what locks you into it. And God says, listen to that man. He's telling you the truth. The only thing you need to do to change the whole cycle is wait till that 1 in 10 when you're shooting craps again and it comes up 1 out of 10 times and something good happens. Reciprocate that. Return in kind. Receive from God. Give the same thing to someone else. Reciprocate. Return in kind or degree. Reciprocate finally means to be the equivalent of whatever you're returning. So you see, when you're cussing and fussing and romping and stomping and lying and cheating and being self-centered and only taking care of your own self, that is your equivalent. Well then, if that's your equivalent, then you are your father the devil. Because God gives. God is love. Some people tell me, well, you're not very nice. I don't like you anymore. I've even had people tell me they hate me. And I look flat in their ugly faces and I say, look, chump, let me tell you something right now. God is love. God loves me. Love loves me. Now, if love loves me, how can you say you don't love me? Because love loves me. The problem is you have no love. So you're not giving me what you have. And you're saying, I don't love you. I don't care. You see, if you had the love of God, love loves me already. So that means I can love, I can reciprocate regardless of what's coming back. Now, it doesn't matter if it comes back unopened. My job is to send it out. My job is to be the reciprocal. Now, understand this. You better get this principle or your life is not going to change. You will be and you will receive the reciprocal of what you put out. It doesn't matter how much love I send your way, God sends your way, everybody sends your way. You will only receive the reciprocal of what you give out. That's the law. It doesn't matter how much comes. I don't have the ability to overturn the law of God. I've often wondered, why won't people accept love? My God, you give them money, you give them help, you do everything for them, and they just can't receive it. They don't benefit from it. You put them on their feet, and before you know it, they're down again. Why? Because they're the reciprocal of what they're receiving. That's all they can give out. So I finally realized, you know, I'm wasting time and money. I just came to that decision just here this last week when I learned this. I look at people, I say, my God, look, I've done this, I've loved that person, I've given them this, they haven't paid that, I've forgiven this, I've done that. And I say, what is the matter with that person? Well, they're the reciprocal of what they're receiving. And I'm trying to change a basic principle and law of God? There's no way. So I finally decided I might as well stop. Wait, maybe I'll, in fact, I know I'm going to have more from now on. You know, I've been wasting a lot of God's money, I'll be very honest with you. I've been wasting God's money and a lot of God's time trying to help people that don't want to receive. They want to be the reciprocal of something else. And I realize I've made a mistake, and I'm confessing it before God and all of you. I have allowed, because of my own stupid ego and pride, and a desire to be well-liked, which is a fault we all have. I have taken blessings that God gave me and tried to help people make their wrong tolerable by using the blessings of God and thinking I'm going to help them out of that by making it tolerable for them to stay. They can't reciprocate anything other than what they're the reciprocal of. The only thing you can reciprocate is what you receive. I look back now and I say, how many years have I invested in that person right there? Time, money, and effort. And what have I received in turn? Just the opposite. There is no reciprocity there. They're not returning in kind. So it finally dawned on me. God said, how dumb are you? You're really trying to solve and soothe your own ego and your own pride. Understand, this individual cannot reciprocate anything other than what they're the reciprocal of. That is a mean-spirited, egotistical, rude, obnoxious, odious spirit. And that's all it can do is reciprocate. It can only give you in kind and degree what it is. What it is. And I finally said to myself, well, that's crazy for me to continue to do that. So if you don't like my peaches, is what I'm saying, don't shake my tree. You don't have to be around me. That's your decision to make. Just don't shake my tree. Leave me alone.
That's right.
I didn't ask you. I'm not begging you. I'm not demanding anything. I am reciprocating. What I'm doing is I want to be the reciprocal of what I'm receiving. I want what goes around to come around. But you see, I've been planting seed in a lot of wrong places. And as of tonight, I'm done with that. You don't want to reciprocate? Don't. You don't want to return in kind or degree? Don't. But understand, the problem is not me. The problem is you don't have it to receive. You don't have it to return because you haven't received it. You're trying to be the reciprocal of something you haven't received. And why don't people receive that? Because they don't willingly offer themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Because if you dwell at Jerusalem, you're going to be informed by God. You're going to be instructed by God. You're going to be shown by God. You're going to be directed by God. You're going to be taught by God. But you're also going to be made safe in mind, body, and estate by God. You're going to be at peace by God. You're going to prosper by God. You're going to be founded by God. By God. Why someone would not want to receive that, I do not know. Instead, you'd rather go out in the world where they're robbing you blind. And God wants to have a relationship with you that's totally different than the one you're accustomed to. I know the difficulty. You were never treated this way in your life. The people that were the closest to you, that loved you the most and still love you or lust you, They never treated you this way. They don't know how. They could only be the reciprocal of what they were. And you see, if you're trying to make me an argument that God is not love, God is not peaceful, God is not calm, God is not the Prince of Peace, He's not the physician, He's not our healer, He's not our provider. When you say, I am not the reciprocal of that, what you're really saying is one of two things. Either God isn't that, or I'm not. You ought to be at least be honest and say, it's me. I'm not the reciprocal. God is love. God does provide. God does heal. God does save. God does forgive. Now, if you don't do those things and you don't, then you're not the reciprocal of God. And the reason you're not the reciprocal of God is that you don't willingly offer yourselves to dwell at Jerusalem. You'll offer to dwell there out of peer pressure or the threat of divorce. When someone finally threatens you, say, that's it, I'm tired of this, I'm not taking, oh, all of a sudden it's hallelujah, get me the knee pads, I'm going to crawl up Mount Helix on my hands and knees, bring me the knee pads, I'm going to do penance now. Until it's done willingly, you are never, ever going to dwell at Jerusalem. You'll be 1 in 10. And let me tell you what reciprocal means, because this is really what Jerusalem is all about. This is what God is all about. He wants you to be the reciprocal of Him. Now let me tell you what reciprocal means. Reciprocal means that is present or existing on both sides. Present or existing on both sides. In other words, if you're catching a lot of garbage and your life is a mess, that's the case because that's the reciprocal that exists on both sides. The people that are giving it to you, but it's because you're giving it to them. So it's a reciprocal. You have the problem on both sides. This is the individual who is very nice, very easy to get along with as long as they're getting their way. And Jesus said, even the hypocrite Pharisees can do that. In other words, the real person of God is the one who can have the reciprocal on both sides, even if the other person's not receiving it. And sometimes the only way that I can give you the reciprocal is to ignore you. And I learned that from Jesus too, by the way. The man taught for 3.5 years and everybody knew where he stood. Everybody knew exactly what he meant. There was no doubt in anybody's mind what Jesus stood for. And then some fools took him into court and start saying this and that, you do this and how about this? Accusing him of things, and he'd already told them what he believed. You know what he did with them? He ignored them. And that's what I'm doing. I'm not here to argue the point with you anymore. You know what I believe. You know what I teach. You know what this Bible says. And you also see what I've done. Thank God you haven't seen everything that I've done. So I'm not going to sit and debate with any of you pinheads anymore. If you want Barabbas, take him. If you have problems with what I've taught, if you have problems with the reciprocal of what I am, then fine, have a problem with it. But I'm not going to debate the issue with you any longer. Reciprocal also means that is mutual. You see, you can't have a mutual relationship with a jackass. You can have a relationship with not a mutual one. You have basically a problem of genetics and biology, which means somehow you have to have the ability to turn that jackass into a thinking, reasoning human being, or you have to become a jackass. That's true. That's too hard. Mutual of Omaha, I'm not. There's no way. I'm not going to do that. And you know the thing about, I've tried it with some of you pinheads. I swear to God, you would get a hairdo and a pencil sharpener. That's just how your head is made, you know? Haircuts and hair. I can save you money. Yeah. Don't go to the barber anymore. I've got a pencil sharpener at home. Come in, I'll just, a couple cranks and you'll be okay. Your head would fit in there just perfect. Point, only one pointed head. Reciprocal means that that corresponds but is reversed. In other words, what the Bible is teaching here, that if you're founded at Jerusalem, you're going to be taught of God, you're going to be safe by God, you're going to be supported by God, you're going to be, everything is going to come to you from God. Then you give that out, and guess what? It comes right back. Amen. Corresponding, but reversed, which means I'm still giving, but now I'm receiving too. That's what Jerusalem is. I feel sorry for some of you people that give and get nothing back. Not that I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you that you're going through all, you're paying the premiums and not collecting. Right. And you get upset because I'm not willing to make the biological changes that are necessary to have a mutual relationship with you. Mutual action, mutual exchange. That's what reciprocal means. Well, you see, the problem with this situation is that you can lose your Jerusalem just like that. Amen. When you start giving people what they're giving you. The minute I see a ration of the crap player coming, I say, wait a minute, if I receive that, then the law says I got to give that back. Yes. So it seems to me the rational, intelligent, thinking, spiritual thing to do is to hold my peace. And treat you like Jesus treated your pappy. Pilate. And he just ignored him because he was a jackass. He full well knew what the man stood for. And Jesus says, why do you ask me? I taught every day in open. What I say and what I believe, everybody knows. Get a tape. Listen to it. It's on record. I mean, if I'm wrong, you got it in black and white. Getting you in a position. You see, you don't understand. You don't see the logic here. If I were to say God is going to give $10,000 a day to any one of you that truthfully knows everything someone else in this church believes. Leave me out of it. Just someone else in the church. If you really know what they believe, and you've got proof, if you can find someone in this church, someone in your life, in your family, anywhere, who can say, and you can say to them, everything I believe is on record. I've said it in front of witnesses. I've said it to you in front of people. I've said it to you by yourself. I put it in writing. And I put it on tape. And everybody has a copy of the tape. So what I say is on record. I can't back down because you would say, hey, how come you're preaching this now? And 6 years ago, you said something just the opposite on tape number 28. And we're already on 3028. There's not one of you here whose total beliefs is such an open, documented record.
That's
as
right.
Me.
That's right.
And with all of that documentation of what I believe, not only in terms of what I've said, what I've written, and what I've told you, but what everybody has seen, there's witnesses all over the place. You still ask me? Just how stupid can you be? The problem is that you don't want to believe what you've heard and what you're seeing. You keep looking for something else. Why? Because you are the reciprocal of what you've received. And you're upset because you're not reciprocating this for the simple reason that you've not received it. And that's because you don't willingly offer yourselves. I'm willing to be your pastor and your counselor. It doesn't matter if it takes 7 days a week, which it does. And it doesn't matter if the only time I can get away from you for a break is to leave town. And even then, sometimes I leave town. You come with us. See, so I offered myself willingly here. Oh, you may not like what you get, but I'm willing to give it to you. There is no problem. I'm willing. I'm anxious. I have a desire. I have a need. Why is it that people want one thing, but don't want to return the thing they so much want? Well, therein lies the reason you don't have it. And think of all the times God has given you those things, clear-cut blessings, and you refuse to reciprocate. You give back something else, which you clearly did not receive from God. Now let me close this thing up by saying, the key to all this is not to come here and listen, although that's important. Not to read your Bible, although that's important. Not to listen to what I say, although that's important. But having done all that, the key is to willingly offer yourself. And in order to do that, you have to do it willingly. From the Hebrew, that means to volunteer. It means a person who enters into a service of his own free will. You became a wife of your own free will. Nobody held a gun to your head. In fact, nobody suggested to you that you pick that fool you picked. Why do you blame me for what you picked? And I had nothing to do in picking that shrew that you live with. That was not my decision. And you're lucky, ma'am, that he didn't come to me first. Had he come to me first, I'd have said, no, and hell no, not yet. And there's some of you here that I told you exactly that. I said, not me. Are you serious? Oh, you made your decision in haste, and now you're repenting in leisure, aren't you? Yeah. Volunteer means to give of one's own free will without being asked or obliged. You know, nothing irritates me more than to say someone say, you didn't ask. I mean, what the hell do I have to do? I have to jump in a pool, be coming up for the third time, and say, well, maybe this guy needs something done here. I don't treat you that way.
That's right.
You ask me for one thing, I'll generally give you two.
That's right.
And sometimes you don't even have to ask. I just see there's a need, and I'll pull you aside and do a little something.
Right.
Of course, you have to ask me if I don't know, if you don't show it to me. But if I can see it, I'll volunteer. Amen. That makes it a volunteer to give of your own free will without being asked or being obliged to do so. That's willingly offering yourself. And then the word offer. First, it's willing of your own free will without obligation. Just because it's there. Just because it's needed. Not because that person does the same thing for you all the time. I don't want you to do it for me because I do it for you. I want you to do something for me because I have the need. I don't want it out of obligation. I don't want it because you think you're going to lose something that I'm not going to give you anymore. That is bull. That's no good. It has to be done with free will without being asked or obliged. Well, how do you do that? The way I do for you, that's how. And this willingness has to come in the form of an offer. Offer means to indicate or express your willingness an intention to do something. You see, if you have to wait until I tell you, beg you, or threaten you, then you didn't offer. And this offer has to be freely done. Freely done. Listen to this for just a second and you'll see why you're not free. I looked up the word free. And it means, free, it means what you do without obligation, what you do willingly, what you do spontaneously. So I thought, oh, that's great, you know. Free means to do something without obligation, without compulsion, without threats, or just do it just because you want to. Well, gosh, I better learn what free means. Free means to be fond of something and to hold it dear. So what does that mean? You only do what you're fond of and you hold dear freely. So if you don't do for me freely, then you're not fond of me and you don't hold me dear. I don't care what you say. You're lying in your teeth in the glass at night if you're not careful. The final analysis of this whole thing is you can't do anything freely that you're not fond of and that you don't hold dear. Wives, the next time he tells you, I love you, ask yourself, what is he fond of and what does he hold dear? Because that's the only thing he'll do freely without you nagging him. And why is it that people are that way? Because free means not to be in bondage. You see, a person can't be free in terms of being the reciprocal of love if they're in bondage to cigarettes and alcohol and temper and food and traditions and customs and oppressions. You can't be in bondage and be free. You can't. Free not only means not to be in bondage, but it means to be glad and happy. Free means not under the control of some other person or some arbitrary power. Now you're finding out why he doesn't love you all the time. Why she doesn't love you all the time. Why she can't freely do things all the time. Why he can't freely do things all the time. Because he or she is under the control of some other person or some arbitrary power. So you can't do freely if you're under somebody else's control. The rule of God is you have to be free in order to love. You have to be free from binding power and arbitrary power. You have to be free. And Jesus made us free. Now, because you can't treat each other this way all the time, all we have to look for is, what are you under the control of? What's this arbitrary power that's got you? That's what's keeping you from loving freely all the time. It isn't the individual and what they're doing. It's the compulsion and the power that you're under. That's your problem. You're not free. Free also means resulting from liberty. Let me tell you something. There is no love in anything that happens that isn't the direct result of liberty. Which means then the person is doing what they're doing just because they want to. There is no force, nothing forcing them, not even their own appetites or hungers. And why aren't people free? See, well, say, well, I'd like my wife to be free. I'd like my husband to be free. Well, I'd like you to be free too. I can't even get you to be reasonable, but I'm working for free. Well, let me tell you what free is, and here's where it starts. Free means to exist under a government that does not impose arbitrary restrictions on the right to speak, to assemble, to petition, to vote. It does not extend to liberty to act however you want. There is no government on the face of this earth that lets you live without any restrictions on how you act. In a democratic government, in a free government, you have the right to speak whatever you want, and I don't impose it. Say whatever you want. Yeah. I'll discuss it with you till you're purple. Speak whatever you want. You have the right to speak. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to petition. You have the right to act or to vote. Now, when it comes down to acting, you better know what the law is.
That's right.
You come to my house and you don't act right, I'll throw you out. My house. I go to your house and I don't act right, I'll expect to be thrown out. Now, if you invite me to your house, I have the right to speak. I have the right to assemble because you invited me there. I have the right to ask you. I have the right to petition. And I've got a right to my opinion. But I don't have a right to act in a way in your house that's contrary to your rules. That right, liberty, does not give me.
That's right.
See, there's the problem, husbands. You don't understand that your dominion over your wife means she has the right to speak, she has the right to assemble, she has the right to petition, she has the right to vote. But wives, let me tell you something. That's where your rights stop. You don't have the right to act in any way that you want. I don't have the right to act any way that I want. We all live under a system of rules and laws. And this is a free country that we live in, and we can't act any way that we want. Although I can say what I want, go where I want, petition, and vote however I want. But there are restrictions on how I act. So see, here's the problem. Mean-spirited, arbitrary husbands put arbitrary restrictions on their wives as to what they can see, what they can say, where they can assemble, what they can petition, and whether they can agree with you or not. They don't give them that right. They take it all. You can't speak, you can't assemble, you can't petition, you can't vote, and you can't do. My God in heaven, Hitler wasn't that tough. And then wives will say, well, God, how do I get out of this? I'm going to tell you right now in a flash. Exercise your right to speak. Exercise your right to assemble. Exercise your right to petition. Exercise your right to vote. Once the decision is made, shut up and do accordingly. And God will protect you. I exercise my right to speak. I speak what's on my mind. And I assemble here and I do what I want to do, what I'm led to do. And I petition and I vote. Once that's done, if you don't like my action, I'm out of your face. You never see me at your house without an invitation from you. As a matter of fact, if I see you on the parking lot, I might go like this at you, and that's about it. Unless you ask me. See, I recognize your rights to restrict my actions in your life. And that's why I have the right to speak, assemble, petition, and vote, because God promised me that. If I recognize authority and the rights of other in terms of my behavior, no one will ever tell me what to say, where to go, how to petition, how to vote, or how to think. Wives, where you mess up, you try to go one step too far. Husbands, where you mess up is you go four steps too far. You have a right to restrict your actions, but not what she speaks, assembles, petitions, or votes. It's a shame that your wives, some of you are treated like children. They can't go to the bathroom without you. I'll tell you what I would do, ladies, if I had a husband like that, I'd just do it right there. And you weren't here to ask. Hi, sweetheart. Then I'd give you a big old hug, man. I'd stay right by you. Well, what's the matter? Well, you weren't here. I couldn't ask you if I could go to the bathroom. Man, I'd cure you of that and just nothing flat. And finally, free. And this is the hard part. This is the part that I've had to do many times with people that I love very much. In order to stay free, I've got to let people be free. Free means not restricted by anything except your own limitations and your own nature. That's a hard one. That's a hard one when you finally realize someone's nature is basically contrary. At that point, you have to make a decision. Do I lose my freedom by trying to take away their freedom to be the jerks that they want to be? Uh-uh. I'm going to let you be as natural and natured as you want. Not that I have any fear about you, but see, that's the way I protect my freedom. As you would that men would do unto you, do ye so even unto them. And finally, and we'll quit, willingly offered means to be spontaneous. Spontaneous means acting in accordance with a natural feeling, impulse, or tendency. Spontaneous means acting in a way and by reason that has no external cause, no external influence. So when you do something for me or one another, and there's an external cause, an external influence, it is not spontaneous, it is not willing, and therefore you're not dwelling at Jerusalem, you're not going to be blessed. Unfortunately, most people will do nothing, good or bad, unless there's an external cause and an external influence. What will you do for me? You do something bad to me, I do something bad to you. You do something good to me, I do something good to you. Even when it's good, Jesus said, even the hypocrites can do that. He says there's a blessing when you do right and there's no external cause, no external influence. You just do it as unto the Lord. That's spontaneous. And finally, it means that is produced by its own energy and its own force through internal causes. And you see, I know love loves me. And if you have love internally, then that's all you need to take care of me. And if I have love internally, that's all I need to offer to take care of you. That's all that's necessary. But if you'd rather go to Vegas and shoot craps and only do what's right when it comes up the way you want it, then you will be one of those 1 in 10 people who 1/10 of the time you enjoy life. 1/10 of the time. You will one day stand before God, and let's say that you lived to be 100 years old. You really only enjoyed 10 years of it. What a sad, sad commentary. Should have been the other way around. Should have been only 10 years where you were doing things that you really didn't like to do, and the 90 years should have been the productive ones. But since you're God, you're bound and determined you're going to get your 10%. You're the 1 in 10 people. Sad, sad commentary about people. But I've decided from now on I'm not going to waste God's blessings on those of you that refuse to reciprocate. I'll wait until you want to. And when you do, 442-7677. And if that doesn't happen, so be it. I refuse to be the reciprocal of what you are. See, the only way I can be exposed is to continue to be the reciprocal of what I am. That'll tell me whether it's God or not. I don't need you to tell me whether it's God or not. My actions will tell me, just like your actions tell me. My actions will tell me also. Very, very simple. Brother Duane, would you close the service in prayer? We got exactly 6.5 minutes to get out of here.